This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with a Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
So especially with my new book, Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West, I've been thinking and writing and talking in all this a lot about the current state of Jewish life in America, and specifically with the Trump administration's current efforts to crack down on anti-Semitism on American university campuses and elsewhere. There's really no better time, I think, for a greater than perhaps normal conversation on this exact topic. So fortunately for you, dear listener, we found the perfect gentleman to bring on the show to have this conversation with. That is my good friend, Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He is the executive vice president of a wonderful organization called the Coalition for Jewish Values. You can check them out at cjvalues.org. So Rabbi Menken joins us today. Rabbi, thank you for joining the show. Long overdue, frankly, in many ways. I wanted to bring you on initially because I saw your organization put out a press release and, frankly, a pretty bold, emphatic, and I would say righteously indignant statement. This was a statement that was issued in response to a lot of left-wing liberal Jews condemning the Trump administration for cracking down on anti-Semitism. So I'm just going to toss over the microphone to you. Why don't you kind of explain to the audience here what is going on? Left-wing Jews are unhappy that the Trump administration is cracking down anti-Semitism. What is going on here?
It's a very sad phenomenon in which progressive Jews are demonstrating that their allegiance is to progressivism rather than Judaism. A previous symptom of this is when the Reform denomination, the Reform leadership, issued a statement in which, in response to the Trump administration declaring that there are two genders, the Reform movement issued a statement saying that for Reform Jews, it is a religious obligation to acknowledge a person's preferred gender pronouns. Well, this is a denomination that does not believe that the Sabbath is a Jewish religious obligation. They do not believe that Jews have a religious obligation to keep kosher or to follow particularistic Jewish law in any area. But yet, on preferred pronouns, that's a religious obligation. I mean, how much better proof do you need that their religion is progressivism rather than Judaism?
Yeah, this actually reminds me of a very similar situation that came about maybe about a year and a half ago or so. There was a pro-life law that was passed in the state of Indiana, if memory serves, and some left-wing Jewish organizations in Indiana did the exact same thing. They sued, arguing that some sort of access to abortion is a religious obligation. It was actually my other good friend, Josh Blackman, who filed a pretty hot and heavy, I don't remember what the exact procedural posture of his writing was, but as someone who was raised in Reform Judaism, Josh Blackman essentially argued and said what you just said, which is that, well, insofar as I understand progressive Judaism, like, there actually are no obligations. Like, there literally are. That's the entire point. That's the entire point of this exercise. It's the raison d'etre of theologically liberal offshoots of the Jewish religion, is that you are claiming that you are freed from the commandments, you are freed from obligations, the unchosen obligations that have defined our people going all the way back to the revelation at Mount Sinai thousands of years ago. So now for them to make these sorts of claims now is just utterly and completely preposterous. But why don't we get into the weeds at least a little bit more? Tell us a little bit more about the statement that your organization put out, the Coalition for Jewish Values, pushing back initially against a statement from an organization called JCPA, the Jewish Council for Public Affairs. Why don't you start there? And then I think there's some other troublesome statements that have been put out by Jewish liberal organizations as well.
Well, you have to first look at how terrible the situation actually is on campus. Why does the Trump administration find it necessary to step in? The situation is that at Columbia, for example, the atmosphere was so visibly hostile towards Jewish students that the director, the rabbinic director of the Orthodox Union Jewish Learning Initiative, told Jewish students to go home for their own safety.
Unbelievable.
The Chabad rabbi at Harvard said, "You'll know the campus is changing and things are improving when we don't have to pack up the menorah every night," because Harvard University was not only was, you know, refusing to guarantee the safety of the menorah from vandals, but was actually telling the Chabad, you got to take down that menorah or it will get destroyed. This is a Jewish religious object. It has nothing to do with Zionism, nothing to do with Israel. Let's stop pretending here. This was rampant Jew hatred being tolerated at Harvard, Columbia, and other major schools. I mean, look, I would argue that any school that is providing recognition to a chapter of Students for Justice in Palestine is providing material support to a foreign terror organization, but we can get into that later. I mean, the point of our letter was simply that these rabbis, quote unquote, who are just rejecting what anti-Semitism is all about, rejecting what actual Jewish interests are, simply because they oppose the Trump administration. They've gone mad. They are allowing incitement of Jew hatred. They're allowing support for Hamas here in the United States, and as are the universities, of course. But for Jewish organizations and for supposedly mainstream Jewish denominations, let's understand the overwhelming majority of rabbis in America, by anybody's definition, what a rabbi is, are right-wing, traditional, Orthodox, and perfectly cogent on what anti-Semitism is. And their view is much more in line with the Trump administration than that of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs and all its allies.
Right. So this Jewish Council for Public Affairs statement that was signed on by, as you noted, Reform Judaism, Central Conference of American Rabbis, the Rabbinical Assembly of Conservative Judaism, and the Reconstructionist Rabbinical Association. These are all the theologically liberal alternatives to actual traditional Orthodox Judaism, Torah-based Judaism. I mean, whatever exact adjective or description you would like to use. And they're literally, just to drive home the point here, they are literally criticizing the Trump administration for its efforts to crack down on Jew hatred on American university campuses. And just to underscore your point, you know, everything that has been going on campuses, it was literally just last week that this video at Yale University went viral of this Orthodox student with the kippah and his tzitzit. For the non-Jewish listeners, that's the ritual fringes that religious Jews oftentimes will wear outside of their clothing there. And he's literally being stopped from traversing across Yale's campus. Because, I mean, as you said, Rabbi, it's not like he's wearing an Israeli flag. To be clear, that is also egregious to stop someone from traversing the campus for draping yourself in actual State of Israel paraphernalia. But the point is, for present purposes, this student didn't have that. He literally was just a religious Jew. I mean, this is Berlin 1938. There is no distinction between that there. I'm not saying it's time for the Jews to leave, God forbid, or anything like that. I'm not making that analogy. But I am saying that the situation on campuses is frightening to the extent that people in Germany in the 1930s, I think, would have been happy. So I guess all that leads me to my next question then, Rabbi, is if these theologically liberal offshoots of Judaism are not happy with the Trump administration's efforts to crack down on Jew hatred, What do you suspect their stance actually is? I mean, are they happy with the status quo? Are they happy with Jews being made to check their Jewishness at the doorstop as a precondition for simply accessing the public quad? What exactly is it that they want?
Well, first of all, if Biden were doing the same thing, they'd be very happy. The bottom line is that their allegiance is to the Democratic Party and to its ideology and not to Judaism or the interests of Jews, which is very sad. But I mean, I will give you a cogent example of this. In 2018, the Reform Movement ran a conference of conscience in Washington, D.C., and the Jewish Telegraphic Agency described this Reform Judaism conference as a Democratic love fest. Why was it a Democratic love fest? Because leading Democrats are kowtowing to the Reform agenda on items like climate change, abortion, gun control, and immigration. Now, only one of those is an actual Jewish issue in which the actual Jewish position is diametrically opposed to that of Reform. The other three are just political issues. And here's what's really remarkable. All three of those items are actually left-wing progressivism. Of course, Democrats created that ideal. They don't support it. Climate change, abortion, gun control, immigration. These are all areas where Reform is following the Democrat position, the progressive left position, to such a degree that the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, which is kind of like an Associated Press for Jews, without a hint of irony, total credibility, just described these things as the reform agenda that Democrats are following, when the reality is exactly the opposite. That is how much Reform Judaism is now identified with left-wing progressivism.
We're talking here with Rabbi Yaakov Menken, who's the executive vice president of a wonderful organization called the Coalition for Jewish Values. They are one of the tips of the spear of projecting to the public what actual Torah-based Judaism believes, not the misinformation that you hear from the liberal Jews who in recent decades have tended to predominate when it comes to the media and political circles and so forth as well. So, Rabbi, look, you and I both know what Reform Judaism and theologically liberal Judaism, how they have sold their soul a very long time ago. They have abandoned the actual religion of our forefathers. They have abandoned Scripture and Bible and Torah, and they have replaced it with their own left-wing agenda. That much today seems to me to be fairly obvious. And frankly, I say as much in very charged language in my book, Israel and Civilization. And I had people who read the manuscript for the book in advance and basically cautioned me. And they said, Josh, you might want to tone down the language here. You're probably going to risk losing some readers. And I said, that's okay. That is a proposition. That is a risk that I am willing to accept because I grew up in this tradition, or ironically, oxymoronically, lack thereof tradition. But I grew up in this milieu, and I know of what I speak, and this is the message that is important to deliver there. But that takes me then to my next point, which is, if there is anything that I would think that these left-wing, theologically liberal, lifestyle liberal Jews would care about there, the people who, you know, they're not going to synagogue on Friday night, they're not keeping the laws of kosher. Okay, what I don't agree with that, but be that as it may, if there's one thing that I would expect you to still care about, it's like your literal own safety, like your actual physical safety, your livelihood, your ability to like make a living, to like not be discriminated against when it comes to university admissions or private sector employment decisions there. So, I mean, what is the line? I mean, surely like something like this, like literally just ending or cracking down on anti-Semitism seems to me like a common denominator that all Jews could agree to, but clearly that's not the case because they're still objecting. So what is the line? Is there one?
It's hard to imagine where that line is now. And that's a really unbelievable thing to say. Yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is that to a certain degree, Coalition for Jewish Values owes its very existence to these left-wing movements and their misplaced accusations of anti-Semitism. We were formed in February of 2017. If you remember, this is the beginning of the first Trump administration.
Right.
The left-wing movements and a lot of Jews on the left were busy accusing Trump of anti-Semitism. He was about to prove himself the most pro-Israel president in Israel's history. He was about to prove himself a dramatic friend of the Jews in a host of different ways. But yet you were getting all kinds of articles in The Forward and other Jewish left-wing periodicals about how Trump and aides like Steve Bannon and Sebastian Gorka were really anti-Semites who just had yet to show their true colors. They later admitted that Steve Bannon and Sebastian Gorka were maybe not such big anti-Semites after all once they left the administration. You see, it was pure politics from A to Z. That's what actually, as far as I understand, initiated the conversation among rabbis that had all of a sudden a conversation where we said, well, if we want to have a voice, we got to form a group. Let's call it Coalition for Jewish Values. Here we go. And, you know, that is literally why we exist, is these left-wing movements. We didn't think that real anti-Semitism was going to become such a big issue. We didn't, you know, it was pretty terrible, honestly, in 2016. But it wasn't at the level of what happened when anti-Semites were suddenly elected to Congress. And that built up to, you know, now after the 2023 attacks, nobody in their right mind would have expected American students on American campuses to line up behind Hamas and say, we're part of you. And yet that's exactly what happened. And for Jewish organizations of all people to not recognize that. I mean, the fact is, they've lost a huge part of their following. A lot of the people who claim to be reform and conservative never show up except a couple times a year. And if they actually want to do something Jewish, they go to Chabad. So, you know, it's really, and I'm not, that's not even a joke. That's, if you look at, like, in Florida, the plurality of Jews doing Jewish are doing it through Chabad, no matter what denomination they claim to be.
No, I know. I'm laughing because it's true. And I mean, you mentioned Florida. I live in Florida. And in Jewish lingo, we would say I personally tend to shul hop a little bit. So I tend to go between different congregations. But my staple, my bread and butter, is indeed a local Chabad. And I'm laughing because I've literally seen what you just said play out in real life. I mean, I have seen these kind of folks who would self-describe as Reformed Jews, but when it comes time to actually go to synagogue or temple, as they tend to call it, you know, the once, twice, thrice a year, whatever it is there, you're totally right. I mean, they sometimes will go to the local Reform synagogue, but they oftentimes will just go to the local Chabad, which is really just quite funny. But go ahead. Yes.
These Chabad houses on campus are actually the main refuge. I Shabbos Kestenbaum, of course, is making a lot of noise about his experience at Harvard and lawsuit, etc. He did like an informal survey of the, you know, students getting in touch with him who are facing anti-Semitism. They didn't even mention Hillel as a resource for fighting Amit, but they mentioned Chabad more than anybody else. You will not find a Chabad rabbi on any of those three letters that we're talking about, you know, fighting the administration. The Chabad houses, the guys who are dealing with the anti-Semitism on the ground and actually, they are definitely not confronting the administration. On the contrary, they are cheering them on. And that's a very important distinction. And like you said, you know, the Jews doing Jewish are finding their way there because that's the refuge from anti-Semitism. That's also driving them in now. And even before then, it was a place you went to do Jewish.
Yeah, and Shabbos Kestenbaum, the aforementioned Shabbos Kestenbaum, just as a reminder, was actually one of my research assistants for some of the earlier chapters of my book, Israel and Civilization. So Shabbos gets a nice shout out in the acknowledgement section. One more shameless plug for you, dear listener. The book is actually finally, for essentially the first time since it was released about 5-6 weeks ago, it's finally now available for same day or 2-day delivery on Amazon Prime. Finally, we have some actual warehouse availability. So if you've not done so already, please do make sure to go ahead and buy your copy, Israel and Civilization, The Fate of the Jewish Nation and the Destiny of the West. But for now, we're starting to wrap up our conversation with Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He's the Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values. You can follow him on X at Y Menken. And then his organization is at CJ Values. Rabbi Menken, we've touched on a lot of things that are built into my next question, but I guess I'm just going to ask it anyway to see how you answer it. And this is a question that, as a very outspoken conservative and a very public, visible Jew myself, I get asked a lot when I do other forms of right-of-center media, when I've been on programs like Steve Bannon's War Room and Charlie Kirk Show. I oftentimes am asked one question above all when I speak about Jewish or Israel-related issues, which is, why are more Jewish Americans not part of the American right, not part of MAGA? I tend to have a very simple answer to this question, actually, and my simple answer, I suspect, is your answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. My simple answer, long story short, is that theologically liberal Judaism is predominant in the United States of America when it comes to the actual Jewish religion there. And it is really because of that that most Jews are politically liberal, because they're likely theologically liberal. But I'm curious for your take as to this question as to why more American Jews are not in line with MAGA, President Trump, and so forth.
Well, I wouldn't describe the average mainstream Orthodox Jew as a right-wing MAGA fan as much as a social conservative. You know, if you are a social conservative on issues involving life, euthanasia, abortion, gender, marriage, and of course, you know, things like human rights and anti-Semitism, you're going to have, obviously, more of a home in the Republican Party, given the current partisan divide. That's not really the fault of Orthodox Jews, or, you know, that things have gone as nuts as they have. Look at Joe Lieberman, who's a nice Orthodox Jewish moderate, who was the Democratic candidate for vice president in 2000. And by 2006, they had to form an independent party because he got primaried out of the Democrats in his home state of Connecticut. For him to remain in the Senate, they needed to find an independent party that was able to beat both the Democrats and the Republicans. Actually, I think he was on the Republican ticket that year, if I'm not mistaken. But in any case, you know, it was that sort of shift to the left of what it means to be a Democrat is really responsible for why the Orthodox find themselves on the right. Why the left amongst the Jews, you know, went along is because the Reform movement, which is still, you know, dominant theoretically, at least in the minds of American Jews, if not their actual affiliation, that denomination was founded on this idea of progressivism. We're not going to follow the Bible. We're not going to follow, certainly not going to follow the Talmud. We're going to do what we think is right because we're looking for development in the religion of Moses. We want to do better than the Bible. Well, when you want to do better than the Bible, that's how you end up with your supreme religious authority being Barack Obama. And unfortunately, they cannot let go of this thing. And, you know, even when outright anti-Semites, clearly, they don't even know the definitions, the traditional definitions of anti-Semitism, or how it is that Orthodox rabbis know anti-Semitism when they see it. Because if they did, they would know the progressives in the squad, for example, are endorsing anti-Semitism and they wouldn't be voting for it. But they don't.
Yeah, I couldn't help but snicker a little bit when you said this notion of trying to do better than the Bible. I mean, that what an utterly preposterous and indeed outright blasphemous just way of potentially thinking about the world. I mean this idea that human beings can know better than the divine himself. The very fact that that is an actual way that some people think says really basically all you need to know.
Now I'll blame specifically the Jews because we're the ones who got it first and really ought to know better the most of all.
Okay, fair enough. And you're totally right about that. That's the entire notion of the Book of Isaiah is called to be a light unto the nation. Totally right about that. That is absolutely fair. So, final question for you, and if you take this where you will. So this show has been an outspoken voice when it comes not merely to the rot in left-wing circles when it comes to anti-Semitism, but also the increasingly loud, albeit thankfully small contingent of voices coming from inside our broader house. I'm talking here about people like Candace Owens, of course. This show has actually been a very outspoken critic of Tucker Carlson's turn ever since he and Fox News parted ways there. What is your level of awareness and concern about the rise of not merely anti-Israel, but really on the fringes, anti-Semitic sentiment coming from certain pockets within our own pockets of the right half of the American political spectrum?
It's definitely something to be concerned about because, you know, the coalition of the left and the right, anti-Semitism was described as a horseshoe. You know, like on the front end, there's this big divide between the left and the right. But in the back end, they all kind of arrive in the same place. Look at David Duke endorsing Ilhan Omar
right
when she was saying her most anti-Semitic garbage. I mean, she was so bad that Nancy Pelosi kind of told her, take a back seat. That's why Rashida Tlaib is now the leading anti-Semite in the party. But, you know, Omar was getting endorsed again by David Duke. Now, David Duke is not endorsing her because she's a black Muslim refugee woman. But of course, if you criticized her for those same repugnant positions of David Duke, you were criticized as if you were a racist who didn't like her identity characteristics. That's, you know, which was ridiculous. But she was using all those characteristics as a shield, or her defenders were using it as a shield. You know, on the right, you don't have that. And that's why David Duke himself is so much less powerful than is Ilhan Omar. And if you look at, yes, Tucker Carlson, it's really a danger when he's got this huge platform and he's platforming anti-Semites. Joe Rogan has not been, you
correct
know, wonderful in this stuff. Piers Morgan has really, you know, like he personally says all the right things and then he brings on his show all kinds of people to say the wrong things. You've got, like you said, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes. These are all people to keep an eye on because they're entirely too prominent when you consider what those positions are. They ought to be rejected and probably are rejected by all civilized human beings. You know, that's the problem. But they still don't add up to the squad actually sitting in Congress and the idea that you can be an actual Nazi and be a member in good standing of the House Democratic Caucus.
Well, Rabbi Yaakov Menken is the Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values. You can follow him on X at YMenken, and his organization can be followed on X at CJ Values. Rabbi Menken, you're a longtime friend, big fan of your organization, all that you do. Thank you so much for stopping by the Josh Hammer Show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.